Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. If you're looking for the best-in-class results out of your manufacturing process right through to the store shelf, this will be an episode full of information for you. I'm Janet Eastman, and this week on the show, we look at how to successfully pursue continuous improvement across your supply chain. Neil Dillette has more than 30 years of both consultant and practitioner experience in the industry, and he has led continuous improvement programs for several billion-dollar brand supply chains. He joins us to share his insights. So welcome to the Make It Right podcast, Neil. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Janet. I'm glad to be here.
So my understanding of the overall goal of continuous improvement is to gain efficiencies that save time and money. Now, is that correct, or am I missing something here?
Now, that's basically correct. Continuous improvement strives to eliminate losses of all types, and then dependent upon what business or industry you're in and the objectives that you're trying to deliver, they may slightly be different. But in general, both retailers and manufacturers, they're both focused on maximizing their sales, cost, and cash results. Some examples that I've done with retailers, as an example, I've worked on improving on-shelf availability, or in-stock results. I've helped to optimize inventory. I've helped with achieving higher sales out of merchandising events. I've helped with whenever they get ready to reset the wall and the creation of a critical path process to make sure that there's no issues that are missed. And also with reducing damage along the supply chain as well. And then with in manufacturing, typically it's focused on the operation of the plant and how effectively and efficiently they run. A typical measure is OEE, and I've had years and years of experience working with plants on that. But then also for manufacturers in the supply chain, inventory is a very important metric, and also just the flow of product all the way from raw or packing materials to the store shelf is very important for manufacturers as well.
So if there's any breakdown along this chain, that costs money, right?
That's absolutely right. And as you mentioned, the time and money piece, time is money. Mm-hmm. And the longer it takes you to get product from one point to another, there's going to be additional costs. And anytime there's upsets in the supply chain, that's going to cost you extra money as well.
Okay, so let's talk. I want to go back and just ask you a couple of things here because there's things that I don't really know what they are. So you say wall reset, critical path, and damage reduction. What's that? Like damage reduction, yeah, so, I think I get, but the other part, the wall reset, I don't know what that means.
Whenever, so in a typical retail store, they call the shelves, they typically call it the wall or the shelf reset. And whenever, you know, there's products that are not doing very well, they want to get rid of those. And then at the same time, they want to bring in the new innovation, bring in the new products. And so what they do is they redesign what the wall or the shelf space is going to look like. And every, you know, annually or sometimes every 6 months, stores will reset what goes on the shelf. And so there's a whole list of activities around, you know, demand forecast for how much you put in what stores, how much store space you get, things like that. There's a lot of activities that go with resetting the shelf or the wall.
Okay. That explains that. So what are the steps that are required then to manage a continuous improvement program across the supply chain? Because I look at it right now and I think of what you've just told me so far, and this is a massive undertaking, isn't it?
It is. Any company that takes on continuous improvement as a strategy, it's a lot of work. It's a cultural change for the company. And I tend to describe the continuous improvement program as a loop. First of all, company leadership has to commit to the continuous improvement program. And once they've done that, there's several steps to take that are part of a plan, do, check, act loop. The first one is, and this is it's an annual activity. Once a year where I've done activities, we do what's called a strategy development and deployment session. So basically the company identifies what their key objectives and goals are for the year, and then they start to develop strategies and measures linked to those goals. And once you've developed your strategies, you want to start the breaking down of the individual actions. And a lot of the successful companies, they utilize the entire workforce. And so the actions are actually taken down to the individual level. As an example, when I used to work in industry, I could walk up to anybody in my company and ask them, what are the top five things that you're working on right now? And those activities that I'm accountable on my performance review, they were linked back to the objectives and goals of the company. So once that's set, you develop actions in like a 90-day time frame and an annual time frame. And once those actions are set, that's when you actually execute the activities. And those are activities that you're focusing on target losses. And typically they're addressed in a team structure. And also as you're going through elimination of these losses, you're developing capability in the people, because in a continuous improvement environment, you want all the people in the company connected to the goals and measures. And also you want them to have the capability to come up with improvement ideas and to solve issues. I've seen where companies implement a continuous improvement program and they have continuous improvement leaders running around, and those are the only people that own the actions towards improvement, and they pull others in as needed. But what you really need is you need to engage the entire organization. And that's the benchmark or best in class example that I've seen. The last part of the PDCA loop is doing monthly results reviews, measuring whether the strategies that you're taking, whether you're on track, and if you have any gaps, and eliminating those gaps. And also along the route, as you are delivering those results, whenever you improve a process, you want to document the process and standardize it so that anybody that uses that process uses it consistently to deliver the result that you're after. And those steps that I talked about, the strategy deployment, the action planning, the execution of plans, and then the results review and standardization of work, that's a cycle that is repeated annually, because business environments change and you constantly need to be focused on what's going on in my environment right now.
So do you ever get to a point where an improvement has been made and it sort of adjust the whole balance of that strategy development and deployment plan, and then you have to adjust midway through your year or whatnot? And is it possible to make that adjustment? Because it sounds like it's a big project.
I can tell you that every year that I was engaged in this strategy development, we were constantly updating our plans. Things that you start out at the beginning of the year, you know, probably 50% of the plans change throughout the course of the year based on either an upstream or downstream change that occurred. So even, you know, we have natural disasters like the hurricanes that are happening. I was in a business where it dramatically affected the raw materials because they were all coming up from the coast, which was impacted. So we had major strategy changes. Also, when as a part of a manufacturer, whenever the retailers change their strategies, a lot of times you don't know those changes are coming. And when they make those changes, you have to adjust immediately. So, you know, every year we used to action plan to say, what's our strategy to develop for this year? But by the time we finished the year, if we executed 50% of the plans that we set out at the beginning of the year, that would be really good.
So continuous improvement, continuous change, really.
It is. You constantly have to be understanding what your customer wants, what your consumer wants, and how do you adjust your plans to deliver that? Because there's a lot of people that are fighting for the same sales that you are. And if you're not making those changes, they will. Your competitors will, and you could lose business.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us about a continuous improvement situation that you've dealt with that can paint a picture of this whole process for us?
Yeah, there was an example where I worked with a retail executive, brand new to his role, and he had wanted to understand all the losses that existed in the environment. And so one of the things that I had suggested was to do a value stream mapping session, because value stream mapping, it's kind of a high level overview process of the losses that exist. And in this example that I had done, it was from the manufacturing line all the way to the store shelf. So it gave this individual a real good vision of the scope of his role. And what we did was we did a three-day session. And during the value stream session, the things that we did was we physically walked the flow. We started at the store, the store shelf, actually. And every time we were at a location, we would ask, okay, so if we're at the store shelf, what's the trigger that brings product from the back room to the store shelf? If we're in the back room, what is the product that brings product into the building? And so we were looking at what are the processes in the area? What's the information or the triggers that move product along the flow? What was the inventory that we found in those locations? And then what were also defects or issues that we saw that were impeding flow along the supply chain? And after we did the three-day session, we were able to deliver to this executive a comprehensive action plan that identified key themes or key issues in the supply chain. And we had prioritized those so that we could immediately start working on those together. And so it was a great example of brand new into a role using continuous improvement tools to map out the entire supply chain and also to deliver or identify actions that needed to be taken immediately that would deliver the greatest size of the prize for the individual. This way, he was able to hit the ground running and work on priority projects that were directly tied to his hierarchy's goals and strategies.
And I guess, you know, I think when we all go to stores now, it's very rare that you'll walk up and see a shelf that's empty. And when you do see it, you go, whoa, how'd that happen, right? And
exactly.
But you don't really think about the fact that the store shelves are always full of product. It's just always there. But what you've just explained is why it's always there. Because somebody is paying attention to it, generally speaking, every step of the way.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also one of the biggest things that retailers keep an eye on is the consumer always available to buy what they want? Because industry-wide, if you go into the store and you want to buy 10 products, typically you'll get 9 out of the 10 that you're looking for. And so there's always that 10%, which the percentage is actually a little smaller than that, but using 10 items as an example, customers always are missing out on sales that they could make to consumers because they don't have their store shelves full. So if you ever go to a store shelf and there's 100 items in a section, it's very common to see anywhere from 4 to 8 of those items missing, which means that the supply chain is not being executed the way that it should be because of the issues that exist in the supply chain.
That's part one of my conversation with Neil Dillette. He's a senior consultant at Simpactful and a practitioner on continuous improvement. Next time on the show, he'll talk about how to bring around the skeptics to the idea of continuous improvement, and he also discusses the ROI of the process. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to the Make It Right podcast.